You made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocktails, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say, a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to share views, norms, and respect, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion, because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today. Welcoming any new listeners just joining us. We hope you're doing well and having a good time. We know we are. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We will be talking about a 1930s crooner, hasn't sung in years, and you won't believe what they sound like today.
The comeback.
Ooh, love a good comeback.
That's right. And joining me today is Amber and Ron are here. How are you two doing today?
Quite well, sir.
I am doing pretty darn good.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Well, I hope you're going to have a better time because we got an amazing show. It's brought to you by LexCorp. Standing strong in the fight against illegal aliens.
Love it.
Going to be taking a quick look back at FDR's emergency banking measure of March 1933. Got some hot science news about humans losing their tails, high-frequency radio waves and bacteria. Got a lone orca out there hunting sharks. Going to be talking about some snake oil involving a Willy Wonka Wonderland experience gone awry.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
Can't imagine how that happened.
Oh, how could that go wrong? A Willy Wonka Wonderland experience.
See, what I really want to know is, how do I get that tail back? I want the tail back.
I can't wait for that one.
We'll get there. It may be possible, Ron. I'm not entirely certain.
Okay.
We're going to do some fact checking, of course, and wrap things up with a feel-good story.
Yes.
And folks at home, we do encourage you to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com. That is tails, T-A-L-E-S. Now that we're talking about human tails, it's not cocktails like a marsupial tail. Maybe you want to text us at 443-499-8253. You can also leave us a voice message there. Come over, drop a comment on our TikTok or Facebook or Instagram. For now, we're going to hop on in that time machine.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in our time machine.
Okay, the Emergency Banking Act of 1933. It was something FDR did March 9th, 1933. He declared a national bank holiday. So back in February of 1933 in Michigan, they'd been hit really hard by the Depression. Michigan declared an 8-day bank holiday. And this started fear of other bank closures. So state to state, people started to rush to withdraw money. Right? Fearing, because of what's going on in Michigan, that their bank would close. And if their bank closes, they don't get any money. FDR had only been inaugurated days earlier, March 4th. And one of the first things he did on March 6th of that year, he declared a 4-day national banking holiday, literally just shutting down the banks so no one could withdraw any money.
Wow.
We've experienced ourselves the effect of human panic on our system with that toilet paper shortage that was created by people buying too much toilet paper.
Makes things so much worse. The panic makes it worse.
We weren't running out. People weren't shitting more.
Well, some of us might be, have been. We were just sitting home eating all the time.
I wasn't keeping track, but, you know.
Where's the scientist in you then? Come on.
You're right, Ron. Come on. For science. Need to get a scale next to that toilet. Ow! You weigh yourself before and after. You don't shit on the scale. Come on.
But you could.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So we experienced that where like we didn't actually have a shortage of toilet paper. We had everybody feeling like being able to get toilet paper it was scarce. We felt like it was scarce. So everybody had to run out and get theirs. And if you're at the store and you feel like there's a shortage of it, you get extra, which is exactly what caused the shortage. Everybody wanted to hoard it. So everybody's scared banks are going to run out of money. Well, the banking system isn't designed to have a dollar for dollar representation in the bank vault.
It can't be that liquid. Know? Never. No.
Never. A banking system wouldn't work with 100% liquidity.
No.
It just doesn't even make sense. So yeah, FDR steps in and he's like, you know, not state by state, everywhere. Just shut down. No banks are allowed to be open for the next 4 days. And it actually played right into his very first fireside chat, which happened March 12th. His very, very first fireside chat. I actually found there's a clip on Wikipedia where you can play the first 13 minutes. Find the whole thing out there as well. But he does a really good job of explaining to the American people what we're talking about, like liquidity. Like, these banks only have a fraction of cash available to them. And when you all run out and withdraw, they can't provide the cash fast enough. So this crisis is our own making, and we all just need to calm down. The banks are okay. We're going to be all right. And Congress followed this up with the FDIC insurance. He assured everybody government regulators are going to make sure these banks are solvent before they're allowed to open. And after the banks open back up, record deposits.
Interesting.
People trusted FDR, and they returned $1 billion over the next week.
Wow.
That's not nothing.
That's pretty significant.
To put that into context, $1 in 1930 has the same purchasing power as $18 in 2024. So that's $18 billion with a B, dollars people deposited in the banks. That's how much people were withdrawing. Like, they were just scared as shit.
Quite the cash injection.
Yeah.
Right? March 15th had the very first stock trading day. After the extended closure of Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average gained 8 points, 15%. And as of October 2020, it was still the largest one-day percentage price increase the Dow has ever seen.
Wow.
Like, so people were pulling money out of the market as well. And all it really took was a calm, collected leader that people believed when he calmed them down.
Leadership matters.
Well, and not even that, but people all over, not just his party.
Right.
I don't know with today's partisan politics if we could ever have that same type of reaction. I can't think of a president in the last, 20 years that could unite the whole country like that.
And get people to calm down.
Yeah.
They would actually trust him. Well, it's definitely something we've seen with the modern shit going the exact other way, trying to amp people up. Fear and anger are the big motivators, so people just seem to be getting really good at making people scared and angry. And as you guys pointed out, FDR sat down and spoke clearly, calmly, and people on both sides were like, oh yeah,
wow,
fucking trust that
true statesman.
So yeah,
There's a lot of great resources on FDR and his fireside chat. He did something like 30 presidential radio addresses throughout his tenure. People wanted him to do more, but he actually was like, you guys got to realize it takes like 30 people a week to put together one of these.
Right.
And I kind of have a country to run.
Right? He's like, I like doing them, but we can't just do them every day.
I can't podcast every week.
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what they were, is,
the presidential podcast.
Right. Yeah.
But, and also to include the banking aspects of this, mm-hmm. we still see that greed fear cycle. Maybe it's not withdrawing money, but there have been some market sell-offs, like COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And the market had the biggest fucking drop sell-off. Mm-hmm. Really, like, whipsawed back. Monetary policy is still, like, they've been doing stuff with it, but, like, as far as, like, banking and money goes, like, we haven't had any innovations.
No.
Like, I know fintech people are screaming right now, but sorry, just because you're doing it digitally doesn't mean what you're doing is new.
Right. So that's that's a something that came to mind is, so back in that time, people used cash. Like, cash was king. Cash is how you paid for everything.
And gold coins.
Mm-hmm. But we don't live that way anymore. So what would this modern equivalent look like? Like, as people, like, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, I've got some cash in my purse right now, but that's just by circumstance. Like, I almost never have cash.
I have $7 cash.
Well, yeah, I'm right there. I'm right there with you in terms of cash. I might have some swirled around the house somewhere, but I'd be lucky to get $20 or $30 to scrape together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny that the conversation led us here this week. In another unrelated news story, not for the show, I came across more and more banks are just shutting down their branches because we're doing it all online.
Yeah,
right, they're not needed. Yep.
When I read this story, it made me think, like, what run on cash could we do? Like, there's nobody's fucking pulling all the cash out. Mm-hmm. It would be a digital transfer. It would have to be a digital transfer of some kind. Like, people stop trusting American banks. So they all start transferring money to Canadian and British and German and Dutch banks, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
You could actually see this. And when I did the stock trading podcast, we interviewed this author named Ian Frazier. And he actually was talking about how several of the EU countries offloaded their debt onto Turkey that led up to the Turkey financial crisis.
Oh.
It wasn't shifting money out of the country, but they managed to shift the debt out, offloaded onto Turkey. And then Turkey all of a sudden has been having this fucking financial crisis when, you know, people in the know can trace it back to these different European movements, bank movements.
So can I offload some of my debt to Turkey?
Yeah, if you were, if you had the power of some different sovereign governments, probably.
I'll get to work on that then.
But just become a sovereign citizen and you got it made.
Okay.
You got you can stand up in court and yell all the bullshit you want.
Sounds good to me. I got lots of bullshit in my head.
All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about some science news.
Ooh, yes, please.
Please.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a lap or two.
So, researchers have finally pinned down the genetic sequences that were responsible for humans losing their tail. The tail.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's hear this.
About 25 million years ago, our ancestor diverged from monkeys and started to lose the tail. And researchers using CRISPR, they identified the specific mutation that started it. It's located in the gene called TBXT, and in mice and other animals, it's known to be involved in tail length. So, former grad student at New York University, now works at something place called the Broad Institute, he injured his tailbone and was like, "What the fuck is happening here? Like, I've got a tailbone. Like I want to know more." So he ended up doing a deep dive, and by identifying this genetic data, they actually took, starting with mice cells, and then they actually did it to live mice, which is its own conversation. Hmm. They were able to breed mice and take out their tails.
Wow.
By taking the mutation that happened in our species, they put it into mice and they lost their tails.
Fascinating.
So what's the impact on the mice then? How did that affect them?
A mouse without a tail is certainly going to have different balance issues. I mean, pure Darwinian, it would be, is there some sort of benefit to not having a tail? If so, those rats or mice will thrive and outbreed the ones with tails.
Right.
Or not, if not, yeah.
But realistically, those lab workers killed those mice. They're not
running. Yeah.
they're not running around in the wild. You know, and like I said, it's its own topic, the ethics of research on actual animals. Like, because doing it to a clump of cells is one thing, but then, like, actually birthing the mice is...
Oh, Dan, you know those mice are frolicking in open fields somewhere upstate on a farm, right?
Of course, of course. With your puppy. That's where we sent him to.
Mm-hmm.
And the Neuralink chimps. that Elon Musk put chips inside their brains. No, I actually think this is the kind of thing, and I can't decide what we're going to see first. Either like tonight, types of dog breeds that where people have to get the tail clipped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my first thought too. Makes it a lot easier, and honestly, it's probably better for the dog to not go through the trauma of surgery. And
mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? Is it going to be that? Or are we going to get, you know, people in a lab saying, no, doctor, I do want my son to have a tail.
Yeah, that's what you were going to get.
So, I mean, little known fact, my son had a tail.
Fun.
Oh, really? You don't have to say which one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wouldn't. He thought it was the greatest story. He's no longer walking the earth in corporal spirit in his corporal body. No, when Stephen was, oh gosh, I think he was about 4. He was very into the live action Tarzan movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, we watched it on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it, and he loved the tiger. Like, he's always been a cat person, or he always was a cat person. There was one day he said, my tail hurts. And I was like, what? And he says, you know, my tail. I'm half a tiger. I have a tail. Because the line in the movie, Tarzan, is like, I'm half a tiger. So, you know, he was, like, so into that.
Yeah.
He was talking about his penis.
Mm-hmm.
So boys do have tails. Yeah. Like, that was his tail.
Okay. All right. I see what you did there. Okay. All right. Well... If you can get that genetically packaged in that upsell in the build a kid lab, they're definitely going to have plenty of guys be like,
oh, don't worry. At some point, it will be customize your child's genitals here.
Oh, God.
Look, I want you to give my boy a monster cock. I never had one. I always wanted one. My wife always wanted me to have one. Let's do it.
I will live vicariously through my son's enhanced penis.
I
gross.
I think it'll be worth the $200. but that's essentially like the fact that they could add it to mice, mm-hmm. they could take it from humans, right?
Absolutely.
Like, they put a functional set of these genes into a baby, boom, human with a tail. Not only with a tail, with the tail we most recently had in our actual genetic history.
Throwback.
Like, it wouldn't be adding a tiger's version of a tail. No, it would be the tail that our ape ancestor had before we lost it.
Right.
It would probably be a really gross, hairless, naked tail. It'd be really, really gross.
Rat tail?
Yes.
Well, I do believe current monkeys have hairy tails. I don't think any apes have tails today.
I think, yeah, most of the great apes have lost their tails.
Yeah, no, apes don't have tails. Apes don't have tails. And monkeys, yeah, all their tails are hairy, so I bet ours would be too.
I would shave mine for aesthetic purposes, just because. Custom tail waxing at the salons.
Dapper Dan's tail hair remover.
Oh, God! There's a whole new industry we have just birthed here on this show.
Oh, and that's before we even get into the tail porn and the kink industry.
You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, it's coming. Literally.
It will be.
Boom, boom. All right. All right. We're not going to top that. So let's move on to the next story. So genetically modified organisms. The process of the genetic modification has been to take a chunk of genetic material and shove it inside a bacteria. And then that bacteria becomes kind of the factory that replicates it, right?
Right.
They've been using chemicals and heat to weaken the cell membrane of the bacteria to make it permeable, to shove the DNA inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that kills a lot of the bacteria. There's a lot, of loss where it doesn't work. And researchers just figured out and managed to use high-frequency radio waves to open up the bacterial cell and let them get the DNA inside, which means bacteria like a little radio before they let you put some DNA inside of them.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't we all?
we all, yeah. Who doesn't love a good Boneulator song?
Okay, so the question is, did they prefer something along the lines of, you know, easy listening, or did they prefer like hard rock hair bands of the 80s?
Show tunes.
High frequency radio waves. So I'm assuming a lot of Michael Jackson.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go. I mean, they have good taste.
This is wild. The classic way they've been doing this, about 77% of the cells will work out using that the chemicals and the heat. With the radio waves, 91% work. And since there's no fucking chemicals, it's way cheaper. Like, way cheaper.
No kidding.
And more effective.
Absolutely. Yeah. More effective, more reliable.
Interesting.
Great. More mutants are just around the corner.
Well, Ron, I teased that you might be able to get a tail.
Mm-hmm.
They've demonstrated that this technique works on eukaryotic cells as well, like those found in mammals, well, humans and other animals. And plants. So we may actually see a time where they're like, okay, we're going to put you in this machine. We're going to zap your cells with this high frequency radio waves and insert this genetic data in there, and boom, you're done.
So basically, like when I had a house built that I had to go to the home studio to customize my new house, that's kind of what I get to go to customize my own genetic makeup.
Yeah, I that's what I'm envisioning, combining these two stories.
Will they take Visa? That's all I'm asking.
This was like a, you know, I know we've never brought up Star Trek on this show before.
Never.
But Star what?
Yeah, Star Hike.
There you go.
Hike the Star Trail.
Hey, at least you're bringing up Star Trek. It's not me.
I would watch these episodes as a kid where it would be like, well, they changed his DNA sequence and look at him. He's already fucking different. You already see the effects, right? They're instantaneous for television.
Instant gratification, yeah.
But here we are, and we've got this fucking technology that is on the precipice of being able to just start changing your DNA inside you as you're living.
It's insane.
Excuse me. I mean, it would take years to have something like, oh, we're going to turn your tail back on. But it would happen, right? They could go in there, they could put this DNA in there, turn it back on, and then you're like, oh, sweet, now I got a fucking tail. Like,
oh, shit, your tail's grow. We got your face now, though. Oops.
There is a whole, like, segment of people who indulge in body modification to the extreme. Not just, like, the tats and the piercings, but they, you know, have horns implanted in their heads and things like that. So,
oh yes, the BME people, genital bifurcations.
We should have seen it coming,
right? I was saying earlier, like parents choosing it for their kids. Like now it becomes different. Now it's whatever you want to do,
right? I'm gonna go tweak my own self.
If some guy walked in and wanted a monster penis, if you change the genetic code like in the right spots, I don't know, I'm not a biologist, I'm certainly not a geneticist, I would imagine within a few years you would see the genetic difference would be there. Maybe not dick size, like facial hair, like, oh, my hair's thin or too thick.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, you could cure baldness, right?
Holy shit. Yeah okay, we're going. I know that some people they've been doing bone marrow transplants to make people as a vaccine for HIV.
Oh wow!
Because there are people in the world that have a natural genetic immunity, and they donate their bone marrow, and then they take that bone marrow and they put it in another person, and then that person gets the immunity.
That is so cool! I didn't know about that.
So you take something like this, you don't even need the bone marrow,
right? Mm-hmm. You just change the genetics.
So many great, wonderful things could come of this. And also, dastardly evil.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thought. Like, will we use our powers for good or will we use them for evil?
Both. I am going to create an army of superhuman soldiers to vanquish my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to introduce this shit to the water source in my enemies, and then they will just start to degrade themselves.
That's how we get the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You're on to something, Ron. Hey, I'll be right back. I gotta go to the bank.
Get your money out now, fools. You heard it here first.
Will they give me my money on a digital card? I don't trust cash.
Yeah, so the post-apocalyptic future. I am worth billions. It's all on this flash drive. There's no computers. There's no electricity, but it's on this flash drive.
That prepaid MasterCard has million.
Right?
Where do I swipe? Just show me.
Nowhere.
The chip's not working. I have to swipe it.
Oh, just put the numbers in.
Just put the numbers in. Oh, okay. And our last story is about a lone orca that was sighted off the coast of South Africa hunting and killing a shark. Like, they actually observed it kill a great white shark.
Oh, okay. I thought he was sighted for it.
He was sighted for it, yeah. Excuse me, Mr. Orca. Do you have a fishing permit?
Please see your identification.
Now, this isn't the first time we've been out here for you. There's a male orca that scientists have named Starboard, and they watched him single-handedly kill a juvenile 8-foot-long great white shark. Took him about 2 minutes.
Whoa!
And they're lethal. They are lethal.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah. Took him 2 minutes to attack, kill, and rip out the liver.
Yes, the delicacy.
It takes my students more than 2 minutes to unzip their backpacks.
Yeah. Pretty sure an orca could kick the shit out of any of your students.
Oh, definitely.
So this is meaningful because they've only ever observed orcas working in concert to take down great whites.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah,
solo, that's new.
That's pretty new, yeah.
It now this the one they watched was a juvenile, and they're like, okay, that was probably why. But they did find another dead shark nearby that they are assuming it was a 11 and a half footer. That they didn't see the orca kill it, but they're pretty sure it was the orca that killed it.
Yeah, like probably.
A great white with its liver extracted.
And wait, what did they name it?
Starboard.
Well, that was a missed opportunity. They could have named it the Lone Orca or the Lone Ranger.
Hey, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Starboard does have a companion that's usually with it, that they usually hunt together, but Starboard was hunting alone that day.
Female or male companion?
Male companion.
Okay. Just curious.
Yeah.
So I know they did just see male humpbacks having sex recently for the first time in the wild.
Oh, they were just roommates, Ron.
Wait.
They're just roommates.
Just roommates.
That's my uncle's friend.
Right. My bachelor uncle friend. Uncle's friend, yes.
That's wild. I didn't hear about that. Are they humpback whales?
They were.
Humpback whales got a hump.
Yeah. Humpback mountain.
Oh, man.
I actually am really interested and wished that they had some sonar recording equipment. I would love to hear if there's a difference in gay whale songs and straight whale songs.
Ooh, actually, that's super intriguing.
That's a good idea for a thesis somewhere for some marine biologist out there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, some marine biologist out there. Someone, like, please take that and study it, because I would really love to read that study.
I kind of want to now write a serious piece of literature called the Song of the Gay Whale.
The gay whales are more into show tunes. Is that how it goes?
Definitely more up-tempo number.
Yeah.
Lately, over the past years, we've been seeing this accelerated orca on great white shark action. Like, they are driving sharks away from their classic breeding grounds.
Hmm.
And marine biologists still don't know where they're moving to because it's getting so trendy in orca populations to eat liver all the time.
And fava beans? And a nice Chianti, perhaps?
You know, side note, you bring up fava beans and Chianti. I just found this out recently. Weird tangent trivia.
Hmm.
Those are two things you can't eat while you're taking the certain psychiatric medications.
Oh.
Really?
So when he says that in the book, in the movie, he's saying, I'm not on my meds.
That means it's a little deeper. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
He's literally saying, I'm off my meds. In a way that the common person would have no idea because he's an evil genius. I just found that out. I was like,
okay, I love that layer of meaning.
I was off my meds and then I consumed the census taker.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, tangent over.
Very cool.
Hopefully one day we'll find out where the great white sharks are and that they're going to be okay because the ocean's getting really fucked up and.
Oh, yes.
The apex predator of the last hundreds of millions of years of the ocean, the one that stood the test of time, if it goes away, it's not going to be good.
No.
Oh, the whole balance is going to be upset.
We'll have to talk about that Gulf Stream shutting down in the near future as well. That's going to be a problem.
Oh, well, I mean, why not now? What's happening with the Gulf Stream?
Scientists show it starting to slow down and shut down. It could happen any time, which would send Northern Europe into a deep freeze.
Yikes.
All that warm water from the Caribbean warms up Europe.
Okay, so that's what the Gulf Stream is. It's a current of warm water from the Caribbean heading to Europe.
Yeah, that's what keeps England temperate instead of like more like its latitude companion, say, in Toronto.
Yeah, or Sweden.
Exactly.
Whoa.
The Gulf Stream, and that's showing signs of fragility right now, and a lot of folks are really, signaling an alarm that it could just stop anytime.
Yikes!
Wow!
And that's due mostly to an influx of fresh water from melting polar ice caps. Changes. There's a lot more the water's less salty. Densities work differently. That Gulf Stream, that warm water, floats on top.
Something I never considered until just now about the effect of the melting ice caps is that it's fresh water.
Yep.
I assumed it was brackish water.
Mm. No, it's purely fresh water.
Wow. No, that's fucking significant because changing the salt levels and things changes the chemistry. It's huge.
A lot of the ice in the Arctic is brackish because it's on the water, but in Antarctica, it's literally miles and miles of ice on rock, on land. That is all fresh water.
Wow.
That is why the melting of that land ice is what raises global sea levels. When that ice goes, that's when the sea level rises.
Yikes. That's scary shit. That's scary shit.
That really is.
Right. We'll have to revisit that. For now, let's check out some snake oil.
Let's.
Yes.
Oh, snake oil, on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
Okay, so in Scotland, Glasgow, there was a recent Willy Wonka-themed event, and one of the actors who worked there has spoken out because people are kind of reporting that it wasn't exactly an event so much as a giant ripoff. So the marketing for this thing was kind of like Willy Wonka meets all immersive Meow Wolf kind of experience where, you know, you go and you're immersed in this magical Wonka wonderland. And what people got was a quarter-ass decorated warehouse. Like, imagine you walk in a big warehouse, and, I mean, the room is like 40 feet to your right, 40 feet to your left, and in front of you is a 10-foot rainbow arch. And then maybe 30 feet away from that is they've hung a 10-by-10 thing on the wall that looks like AI-generated Wonka Land art. Like, they didn't cover anything. Like, it's literally like a poster on a bedroom wall. It's got one poster, of Willy Wonka, and you walk in, and the person's like, "Yeah, welcome to my Willy Wonka Wonderland."
Ooh, that's worth my $125 for my VIP pass.
Yeah, $45 a person.
Woo.
The DRMT warehouse dirty. The worker described it as a health and safety nightmare. They have a bouncy castle, so that's something. The chocolate experience had almost no candy, and the actor. This is the guy that they hired to play Willy Wonka is the one that's been talking to the media about it. He said they told him to hand out a single jelly bean to each kid.
Wow.
And then a quarter of a glass of lemonade.
Oh,
wow. So glad
crap.
I paid my $45.
$45.
Jeez.
Wow.
And this guy thought he was getting cast as an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, no.
And to quote him, the first red flag for me was when I was cast as Willy Wonka. Anyone who looks at me and thinks Willy Wonka and not Oompa Loompa is out of their mind.
Hey, he's self-aware.
Yeah, right? Right? I give off major Oompa Loompa energy. But not like a good Oompa Loompa, like one that is at the back during the dance numbers, like falling over your aunt at a line dancing class
on
the holiday.
Tied me in the back.
Yeah. Folks listening, I really do hope you'll follow the link to this to get a picture and to look at some of these pictures. They are stunning. Yeah, it's pretty bad. They gave the actor a 15-page monologue of what he described as AI-generated gibberish.
Probably was.
To quote, one of my favorite lines was, "There's a man who lives here. His name is not known. So we call him the unknown. The unknown is an evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls."
Okay, ChatGPT.
What is an evil chocolate maker? Does he make evil chocolate or does he make it for evil people?
Chocolate inherently is divine, so
I want the dark evil chocolate.
You want the evil dark chocolate? Yeah, then the actors still haven't gotten paid. Probably won't be because they had to give all the money back.
Yeah.
So there's a picture of the bounce house.
Oh my goodness.
It's there's no decorations around it. It's literally a bounce house in the corner of a warehouse. It's so sad.
It is really the saddest thing ever.
So, yeah, people were shouting and breaking shit. And the police actually had to break up angry crowds of visitors at the event. Everybody got so pissed that they started breaking shit. And the cops had to come and, like, pull all the event workers out and get them to safety.
Like, they are going to murder you.
That is insane.
Yeah. The group who put this on was called the House of Illuminati.
Yeah. Should have been a red flag right there. I mean, you started with Willy Wonka, which, I'm sorry, I can't stand Willy Wonka. Creeps me out. Every version. I hate it. I hate that movie. But, yeah, like, Willy Wonka and the Illuminati sounds like a really bad TV show.
Roald Dahl is very popular in Britain. He was a British guy, so it's not surprising to me that people are more into Willy Wonka there than here.
And he's a great author, and I haven't read the book, so I would never give an opinion on it, but the movies are just awful.
Side note, Roald Dahl's adult short story fiction, phenomenal.
Okay, I'll look that up.
You really should. The guy was a great writer. So anyway, they've compared this to the Spire Festival.
Oh, and that was a nightmare in and of itself, too.
I'll end with quoting the event organizers. "I'm truly sorry for any upset and disappointment caused at the weekend. Refunds have been issued and will continue to do so. This was an event gone wrong. The House of Illuminati will not be holding any other events in the foreseeable future."
Not that we're going to advertise goodness. Anyway.
The incompetent Illuminati.
Right? Okay. Well, we're going a little long, but we still got time for some fact-checking time.
Ooh.
Here we go, what do you know? It's fact-checking time. Will you believe or be deceived? It's fact-checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. stick the needle in my eye. Here's the proof that all the kids call Flat Check-In Time.
All right, so who's in the hot seat today? Neither of you were here last week. Well, Ron showed up at the end.
Barely.
Amber,
I feel like you should
take this one, because Ron's done this a lot.
On the spot.
What did I do to you as a child? Dan, I was always nice to you.
You actually really were always nice to me. But, you know, you moved out and got a life.
Oh,
and then
that's true.
You weren't around anymore, so.
I did abandon you, I guess. It's my turn. Yeah.
You know the game. Let me explain it to everybody listening. It's Fact Checking Time. I'm going to present two things that happened in the news, one of which was actually fact-checked, or happened in the news or online social media, being talked about. Two things being talked about on the internet. One of them was fact-checked. One is just a thing that happened. And Amber's going to have to tell me which one got fact-checked.
Whew.
Okay. Are we ready?
Good luck.
Alrighty.
First one up. Stanley Cups were originally invented for World War II pilots. Stanley Thermos for Tough Guys.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, not the NHL Championship Trophy.
Yeah, I was really confused because I was like, wait a minute.
The brand Stanley Cups.
Got it.
Up Thermos.
Got it.
Invented for World War II pilots. Or the Phillies have ended $1 hot dog nights because fans are getting too crazy. Which one got fact checked?
I am going to say that the hot dogs was fan checked. Fact checked, not fan checked. All the fans were checked.
I'm sorry, that's not correct.
Ooh.
But it did happen. I heard it on the radio. They like got into this massive food fight with hot dogs. That was like so much fun.
Well, yeah. So they said, you know, fuck it. We're not gonna. If you're just gonna buy the dollar hot dogs to throw them at each other,
you don't get them anymore.
It's just a dollar.
Yeah.
So if I want another hot dog,
right?
I can throw this one. I've got another dollar.
It totally makes sense how it happened. Like, I totally get it.
I already got 10 of these $1 hot dogs.
Yeah, right? I've already got 10 of them here, more than I could eat. Maybe they were already a full. I don't know. Anyway.
I would have thrown a few, just saying.
It's like, I got these just to throw.
I came in here with a plan.
Now they got to bring their own hot dogs.
The Stanley brand cups were not invented for World War II pilots. They were invented in 1913.
Okay.
Second question.
The pressure.
Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't start out of the gate real well.
Social media user shared a post to a psychology report saying society reacts negatively to research that has a result of like favoring a male, like any kind of research where they're like, men do this better.
Okay.
Was that fact checked? Or people on social media claiming that women retain the DNA from every sexual partner that they've ever had?
Okay. Which one?
That their offspring will have a little bit of DNA, the best bits. Which one got fact checked?
Okay, say it again. Like, what was the first one again? I got lost in the second one.
First one was talking about a psychology study that's saying when research comes out,
right,
and it's like men do this better than women, like society doesn't like
that. Okay. And then the second one is all the DNA of your partners.
Is, yeah, yeah.
Cumulative, evidently.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. They probably wanted to fact check the sexual partners.
That is correct.
Oh!
Hey!
And it's bullshit. And I've actually heard an educated person tell me this.
I'm glad, because I was thinking back to my old partners going, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Please tell me that's not true.
No, please, no.
Right, right. You made one bad drunken mistake with you forever. No, it's no. Semen is not like an STI.
It's not forever. Not like diamonds. Semen is forever.
I've had very educated people propagate this myth. And it's done today. It's done in social media to be like, if a woman has a high body count, she's worth less.
Like, I don't want to. I don't want to. Have a kid.
Yeah.
That's not my kid.
She's been tainted.
Anything to shame women for their sexuality, like that, always going to be a thing.
Yeah, yeah, you're fucking tainted. It didn't need a fact check, but it was a very real psychological study on sexism, where they found that if the research, any research comes out, the, you know, it's like, oh yeah, men can hit a golf ball further than women. Society doesn't like it; reacts negatively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I actually recently had a conversation with somebody, and it was like, because we were talking about like transgenders in sports, mm-hmm. and I was like, I think honestly the solution, and this is off the cuff of somebody who's not in the trans community, so I you know, I have the, my opinion is worth what it is, right? Like, it don't quote me, but I think like we just change it to what was your puberty gender?
Mm-hmm.
That's sports.
Why have them separated at all? Why don't we just throw them all in the same pot and see who comes out?
Okay, like, okay, this is the exact conversation I just had with another woman. All right, Amber, it's because look at golf. Look at golf.
I try not to. It's really boring.
Same.
The average man hits a golf ball further than a woman. The women's PGA, they cannot compete with men on the same golf courses. They can't do it. Bone structure and testosterone has an athletic effect. It just does. I didn't make it true. It just is.
Right. No, there is definitely science behind that. I'm just wondering, because I don't know a whole lot about the mechanics of transgenderism, but I wonder if someone transitions at a younger age and the hormones in play, will that, like, so let's say we have a male to female situation. If that male transitions at a younger age and is getting the female hormones, how does that impact their sports ability later?
Adversely.
Right.
Right. But it would, but then going back to the sports thing, like, if they've had the other hormones running through their body, then there should be no problem with a trans female competing against a cis female.
It would level the playing field.
Right.
The hormones. The hormones.
And so this is why I say you have to, it has to be the hormones of puberty has to be the deciding factor of where you compete. Okay. Because a man who transitions to being a woman, that woman has athletic advantages that someone who went through puberty as a woman does not enjoy. And there are skeletal structural differences and there are muscle mass differences. They, yes, compared to a non-transitioned man with full testosterone, a transitioned woman with estrogen supplements is not as strong anymore. But compared to women who never had testosterone during puberty, they are going to be stronger and will have advantages.
What a complicated issue, because
it's very thorny.
You know, our extreme right fights against parents allowing their children to transition at younger ages.
Right, right. They want to transition before puberty.
Right. So basically, if you go through puberty, whatever hormones you had at the time, that becomes, like, it's not changeable later, is what
correct.
I'm saying.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and what we're talking about is at the heart of the issue, right?
Right, right.
Letting kids transition. Why do people want kids to transition? They're not pushing their shit on these kids.
No.
These kids are saying, I identify differently, and they're like, fuck, I don't want to disadvantage you later. If we transition you right now before puberty, you're going to have the advantage of having a feminine skeletal frame and structure, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Back to fact check.
We're 1-1.
1-1. This is the deciding one.
All right. Users on Twitter, X, shitter, whatever, are saying Shania Twain is unrecognizable in her new photos.
Was that fact checked or?
Or people are saying Mark Twain was born and died on days Halley's Comet flew past the Earth.
Oh, well, fact checking Shania Twain. Nobody cares about Mark Twain.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark Twain got the fact check.
Really? Like, I think that would be that's fascinating. So was he really born and died on Halley Comet days?
So he would have been, what, 76 years old to do that? That's a 76-year cycle, right?
So, yeah, it is. And it popped in at 1835 and 1910, and those are the years he died, but not the days.
Mm. Okay. Interesting, though.
He did born and die on years where Halley's Comet was visible. Huh. And Shania Twain, she looks like fucking, I'm approaching 60 Shania Twain. Like, what? I don't know.
A human
like,
woman.
Seriously, people. we all age. Come on.
It's the other way. They're saying she's trying so hard to look young that they don't recognize her.
Mm. That is a trap in celebrityism.
Like, whatever Madonna's become.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, no. Shania Twain is not that.
I love Madonna, but I wish she'd lay off the Botox and plastic surgery.
Oh, God.
Would like her to look human again. Mm-hmm. She was beautiful.
Absolutely. But you surround yourself with sycophants, and yep. they're just yep. like, yeah, that's great. That's great. That's great. And then you lose focus.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Okay. All right. Let's start heading towards the exit. Let's talk about some feel goods.
Yeah. Yes, I love feel goods.
Talking about the UK earlier being a temperate climate compared to its, you know, equator cousins.
Right.
Every year, toads across and frogs and
newts
get demolished crossing streets trying to get to ponds to mate in the spring.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is a network of volunteer societies that have been transforming this process.
Really?
They walk up and down the dark asphalt with flashlights and high visibility jackets and buckets and pick up these amphibians and take them across the road.
Aww.
They're wingmen. They're wingmen. They're helping them get laid.
Absolutely. Wow. All of them. Well, some of them have already gotten laid and they just want to lay the eggs.
Okay.
Right. I'll go home and take a rest.
So some of them are pregnant ladies. They're literally helping pregnant ladies across the street.
Hmm? And let me tell you, pregnant ladies need a lot of help. I've been
That's
one.
So sweet.
And we need it.
There's 203 amphibian rescue groups that are coordinating to do this. And they saved 115,000 animals from roads last year.
Wow.
Wow. That's really cool.
They've brought the number down by 60% to a total of now the mortality rate is only about 3 out of 100.
Dang.
Trying to cross these roads, they estimate.
Hashtag not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, right. Some of them wear reflective jackets, mm-hmm. have flashlights and buckets. And if you are in the UK and listening, there are dozens of toad patrol groups that do need new members in Cheshire, Lancashire, and on the Isle of Wight, especially. So
that's my next band name, Toad Patrol. Perfect.
Toad Patrol.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I got a bucket and a light. I'm only out at night. Toad Patrol.
Toad Patrol.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I do love some feel good stories. Folks, thanks for joining us and sticking around all the way to the end. I'm really glad you did. I know I had a great time today, but sadly, we've got to wrap things up. It looks like we don't have any time left for that 1930s crooner that we haven't heard sing in years.
Dang,
you'll believe what he sounds like today.
It's Philippine.
He's probably dead, so probably not going to make much sound.
That's why I wanted to hear him.
That's on me. We won't get to talk about that. Sorry. Going to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and the Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Amber, Ron, any final words, thoughts, or goodbyes before we go?
See you next time, all.
And don't forget to stop at the bank tomorrow.
Take out all your cash.
But don't kiss the toads. Just help them across the street.
Join the Toad Patrol.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. Have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time, you know what to do. Tell somebody that needs us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com. We are on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. If you're in the giving mood, you can find us over on Patreon. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Thanks for stopping by. Go out and be well.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration. Oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.